Good evening, Redeemer, and welcome into the season of Lent. Lent is the word that comes to us from the Old English, as Bryant described in the introductory words, that's tied in with springtime in terms of nature, but it literally means lengthening, as in the sun is with us in longer days, the shadows get longer that the sun casts. And it is meant to be Lent, the church's springtime, in which the rays of light of Christ come down upon us in richer and fuller and deeper ways. And it does two things, that light. It casts longer shadows on who we are. We realize we really are more broken and sinful and needy of deep mercy from God than we ever could have realized before. It's a time to stop posing. It's a time to stop pretending with God and with each other and with ourselves and to admit our deep need for God. We take long looks at ourselves and long looks at our sin and brokenness, but we take even longer looks at Jesus Christ, who is God come among us to be rich in mercy, God come to be crucified for us, to die in our place, to give life to the world, to pay for all of our sins, and to allow us by faith in him to be crucified with him to death, to sin, to misery, and begin to live a new life with him in his resurrection. And so it's a time for reflection. A wonderful Lenten pairing then, if you will, a Ash Wednesday Lent opening day kind of pairing, is this last letter. We've been studying the seven letters in the book of Revelation, if you're with us on Sundays, and those letters that Jesus gives to his church. And we're concluding that series as Lent begins tonight with a wonderful Lenten pairing, like the right kind of wine to go with your meal. This letter to the church at Laodicea, which is saying to us what Lent says to us. God's mercy is deep and wide. God comes to us right where we are. God loves us right where we are. God's cross in Jesus Christ reaches down to us right where we are, but God in no way, shape, or form will leave us right where we are. God is about redeeming us and transforming our lives, calling us into a gospel vibrancy with Jesus Christ. The great call of this letter is to move out of lukewarmth, a tepidness of faith, into a vibrant, warm faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what this letter is all about, and that's really what the Lenten season is all about. So with those things in mind, hear now this last of these letters, the first of our sermons during the season of Lent, Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we freely confess that so often we are like the church in Laodicea 2,000 years ago. We are lukewarm in our faith. You long for us to be appropriately hot at times and cold at times, in different ways, in different places, with different situations. But we so often are merely lukewarm, tepid, tasteless. Please, dear Jesus, be merciful to us yet again, even in this space. Be slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness towards us, as you promised to be in your word. Please, Lord Christ, do not give up on us. Do not cast us aside. Do not spit us out of the mouth of your grace and mercy. Pity us, bear with us, renew us in your gospel this day and this season and all through our journeys, Lord. It is in the hope of your name that we pray. Amen. Well, Lent starts with this reality that Jesus is honest with us. Jesus introduces himself to the church at Laodicea through John writing on his behalf, empowered by the Spirit as John is having these visions to write to these seven churches. And here's the last, and Jesus says, I am the faithful witness. I am the Amen. I am the true one. In other words, everything I say is not only accurate and errorless, it is absolutely what you need to hear. It is the Amen to everything that God has said, and I am giving you this honest analysis of who you are. What a beautiful hope for us during Lent, that we put down the posing and the pretending with ourselves or before God or around each other, and we let Jesus just speak to us about who we actually are. And the first thing he says to this church, which he may very well want to say to many of us tonight, is, I know your works, and I wish you were hot, but you are not. Think about the language here, of the imagery here of Jesus saying, I want you to be hot, and if you're not, I want to sort of just spit you out of my mouth. Think about hot coffee or hot cocoa or hot tea that you brew or that you're putting together or piecing together on a very cold winter day. It might be hard to imagine that now, as that seems far in our past, but it wasn't that long ago, right? And you would just so long for that drink to warm you and to be stove hot. And when it isn't, it's like you don't even want to taste it. You're making a beautiful soup and you've put it together on the stove and it's been percolating all day and sort of soaking and simmering. And yet somehow so often when soup moves from the stovetop to the table, right, it loses that warmth and vibrancy. And you put that spoon in your mouth and you sort of say, yeah, I don't even know if I want this. I can't have it hot. It needs to be hot. That's what Jesus is saying about our faith journey with him. Is I'm longing to see a warmth fueled by my grace and my mercy, by your being in direct contact with me. And yet you're not, you're just tepid. You're lukewarm. I grew up all the way through life having this odd sort of pattern all the way into my 40s in the various places that I lived, the homes that I grew up in, and then the homes that Fran and I inhabited in the years of our marriage, the earlier years. And that is, I love to take baths. It's a weird thing. I'm a big guy, you know, but I love to take baths. And if I'm going to take a bath, man, there was an art to it. Like you had to get it steaming hot. I have not lived in a house that really has a good bathtub now in about 20 years. And that's a good thing because I'm a really big guy now. And it's a little harder to get in and out of a tub. But when I'm at somebody's house that really has a nice tub or a very nice hotel, I'll get down into that kind of sunken tub and just soak into all of that and just enjoy that and be refreshed by that, right? And that's an image that was very key to the people in this region, Laodicea and its twin city, its sister city of Hierapolis, because Hierapolis was this town just a couple of miles away across a plateau and then down into a valley where Laodicea was. And Hierapolis was famous for its warm baths. Think about Pine Mountain, Georgia, or Hot Springs, Arkansas, place where there are these natural boiling springs where people would come to soak and take the waters and be heated and soothed and comforted and healed. But that same water would move out of those warm springs, go across the plateau in a stream, in a little river, and then come down and cascade down into the valley where Laodicea was. And by the time it got to Laodicea, it wasn't really warm at all. It was just kind of lukewarm. And the water there was just kind of blah. And Jesus is saying, you're living derivatively off of me. You're living off of the past with me. And you're not being fueled by my grace. You're not coming in the fire of my goodness and my mercy and the wonders of my presence. And so you're just tepid. You're lukewarm. You're like something I don't want to taste. You're like water that no one wants to bathe in. That's not comfortable. That's not helpful. That's not healing. Is Jesus saying that to you tonight? That you've just lived derivatively with him, that the fiery times of when grace was deep and rich to you, when you were renewed in faith, hope, and love through the means of grace, of scripture and the preaching of the word and the sacraments and prayer and fellowship, and it's all just kind of blah right now and tepid. Jesus is saying to you, I want something better for you. That's not where I want to leave you. That just makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. But it's interesting. Here's where there are a couple of twists in this letter. This is a letter of the seven that's most familiar to us. It gets taught and talked about more. And here's one of the twists, because I studied this passage, heard it taught for years and years, and was always confused, because what does Jesus say? Not just that I know your works, who you are before me, really seeing who you are, and you're not really warm, you're not really fired by my mercy and my grace. But he also says, neither are you cold. And because you are neither hot nor cold, but really just lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth. And so it's kind of taught, see, it's really better to just sort of be cold, far and totally away from God and all of his mercies, right? Than even being lukewarm. It's better for you to be all the way outside with God than this kind of halfway thing with God, to be lukewarm. And I don't think that's a good analysis at all of the text, because that just doesn't make any sense. Because what Jesus is getting at here is that he wants us to be both hot and cold as his people in differing times, in differing ways. Who are we to be as Christians? People coming into the presence of Christ, wondering and celebrating the wonder that we are forgiven in him, that we are loved in him, that he promises to take us and renew us and make us alive. We get fired by that, and the waters of our souls get warmed by that. The springs, as Bryant likes to say a lot of times, are bubbling up and boiling within us of grace, this warm springs. But at other times, right, what's the image? That the gospel is like a wellspring of salvation in us, like cool springs in a desert, like what the women at the well heard about and experienced with Jesus as she sat alone by herself at a desert well in Sychar, right? And Jesus comes to her in the middle of the day and says, I've got a drink for you that's better than this well water, that's going to forever cool you and satiate your thirst. See, the gospel is also to be bracing to us, refreshing to us, like the coolest drink of water on a summer's day when you've been out working and working hard or running, and you're drenched and you're satiated by that grace. And thus your life can become a flowing river of that kind of thing for others too. And Jesus says, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're kind of like that water that runs through your town. It was really hot. It passed through the plateau. It's come down to you. It's lukewarm now. It's not like the waters that people come to bathe in the hot springs. And it's not cool and refreshing like a desert well bubbling up. It's just kind of blah. And Jesus is saying to us, you're neither really, people, hot nor cold. Now, what's the hope in that? Jesus says, I know these things about you. And in love, I reprove you and I discipline you. I'm calling you out. I'm the Lenten Savior of grace to call what you are out. I want you to stop and let yourself hear what I'm saying about you. Stop the posing. Stop the pretending. Stop all of this play acting before me. And realize you're really not very hot or very cold. You're really just lukewarm. You're tepid. You're tasteless so often before me and before others. Jesus does this in love. And he says he disciplines us in love. He chastens us to redirect us, to reorient us, to make us in new ways alive with him, warmed and cooled by his gospel of grace. I had an experience very recently, just in the last several weeks, where two people very close to me, dear close friends, sat down with me and just said, "Paul, we need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And they know I'm having one of the biggest challenging periods of my life, and they know a lot is going on. They said, "Paul, we know the timing isn't great, but this situation that we're all kind of involved in, I think you think you're really being connected here and being kind here and being gracious here. And Paul, we're telling you, it's not coming across that way." You love to think of yourself as always the nice guy and the kind guy. It ain't happening that way. And it just really was hard to listen to, particularly in this kind of space where I am, where things feel so hard with my wife's recovery from her stroke and all trying to kind of rebalance and find a new way. And I really did not react well at first. I said, "Guys, that's not very loving right now." And one of them just very gently and kindly said, "Paul, I'm sorry, I get that, but we're trying to say all of this in love, to sort of get you to stop and see and come back with us to Jesus for grace, for forgiveness, for repentance, for change." And by the time the meeting had ended, my heart had started to crack open, and I'd started to really let Jesus speak to me through these friends and to come back to him for grace and mercy. Your situations are different. The voices may be different. Maybe it's my voice on Christ's behalf even now, but Jesus wants to arrest you. Stop opposing this Lent. I don't care, as Bryant said, what you give up or what you put on. It's not about that. This season is to make room. If you give something up, it's to create more room in your soul to let me speak to you. If you put something on, a new practice, it's to create a new avenue to let me speak to you in grace and mercy and make you hot and cold again in the gospel. It's beautiful. Well, what's the good news here? The good news here is that we can be, as Jesus urged the Laodiceans, as he urges us, zealous about this. We can be awakened about this. We can begin to repent, to turn away from all of our false hopes, our false comforts, our first false gods, and to turn back to Christ, who is rich in mercy. And where does that start? Where does repentance and renewal start? Not just on Ash Wednesday, not just during Lent, but every day of our journeys with Jesus, every season of our journeys, with an awakening to realize how needy we are, admitting that. The Laodiceans loved thinking about that they were rich, that they were a merchant center, that they were on the trade route passing through Asia Minor from Rome to the Middle East, that they were a people that were prosperous, that they had a lot of money, that people had gold and silver, and they were wealthy, and they took pride in that. They were a fabric center. They loved clothing, and it was one of a couple of centers in that area that had all these beautiful garments, and there was a garment trade there. And then they were famous as a medical center, particularly for eye care, particularly for having a salve that would bring healing to people with eye difficulties, right? And what Jesus says is, you think you're wealthy? You think you have fine garments to wear? You think you have what it takes to help yourself and others really see You're pitiable. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. You're needy. See, you've taken all these secondary common grace kind of blessings and divorced them from me. You've been like the prodigal son toward me functionally saying, I wish you were dead. Let me have all these things that would be in my inheritance if you were gone, and I'll go out to the far country. This is where they think their wealth and their security and their permanence is. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You're poor in spirit. And if you recognize that, the kingdom of heaven can be yours. You need my clothing, my covering of your shame and your nakedness. You need my wedding garment for the great wedding feast to come. You need the garment of white that's talked about all throughout Revelation as the right clothing for heaven. And you need my eye salve, which will really help you see who you are, but more than that, who I am and how I'm rich in mercy. See, if we will come back to that basic reality this Lent, that we are desperately needy, but Christ is rich in mercy and is saying, come and get these things and buy them without money. Buy them by my grace. Cry out for my new mercies. Then repentance begins to happen. Then there's a zeal. Then there's a firing. There's a warmth and an appropriate coolness to our lives. Well, where does all this finish? Really, where do all the letters finish? With the hope of conquering with Jesus. When we live this way, when we come back to ourselves and say we have nothing and we need everything from you, Christ. When we start anew there, there's the hope of conquering with Jesus. Jesus says, you get to conquer with me. You get to sit on my throne together with me the way my Father allows me to sit on his throne when I ascended into the heavens. This is what is coming for you. But he says something more. What's here for you right now is deep, rich fellowship with me. Here's the other verse that's misunderstood, misquoted so often. Certainly was when I was a younger man and a younger Christian. Revelation 3:20, behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And I memorized that verse and used it in countless encounters in campus ministry to talk about what it would mean to become a Christian. Open your heart and let Jesus in. What it's really saying to a group of Christians, desperately needy, whom Jesus says, you can't go on like this, because going on like this makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. You have an opportunity, a doorway, we've talked about it before, and I'm out here calling for new connection with you, new depth with you, new intimacy with you, breaking bread with you in new ways around your repentance and your need. And Jesus says, when you approach me this way, we're going to feast together now around my table and for eternity. And this is great hope. So Jesus says, I don't want to leave you in lukewarmth. I will not leave you in lukewarmth. Lukewarmth is not my way. I want to fire you and cool you through my gospel of grace as you humble yourself anew, as you are arrested by my analysis of you, and you come pleading nothing but your need. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress. This is our hope on Ash Wednesday and every day. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we so thank you for the mercies here we've received. May grace flow to us tonight. All of us in different ways, Lord, need your voice to arrest us tonight, to reprove us tonight, to say, in so many ways, you're lukewarm, and I want you to come back to me. I want you to admit your need. I want to renew you in my love and my connection and my fellowship with you. This is the great opportunity, Lord, for us tonight and in all ways. So this Lent, refresh us in this gospel. Move us out of lukewarm into gospel vibrancy now and forever. We pray in your name. Amen.